start. John 15, if you want to turn in your Bibles. Paul, I think it was Wednesday, says, so how are you coming along with that message? You done? I said, oh, yeah. And I was. I was done. It was titled Abide, by the way. And it was saved. I started praying, and Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, got to do a little technical stuff. Holy Spirit, as I was going about my week, tapped me on the shoulder. Anyway, abide became abide, final, and then it became abide, final. You see, God is never done with us. Anyway, we're going to read from John chapter 15, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to abide in you. Help us, Lord, to know more fully what you mean when you say, abide in me and I in you. And show us, Lord, how we may more fully today abide in you. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's how this will go. I'm going to talk about abiding and what I believe it means. I'm going to talk about abiding and what we get out of it. And then finally, I'm going to talk about how I believe we can abide. So, I want to say one thing about this verse of scriptures, chapter 15. I am the true vine, the Father is the vine dresser, the gardener, every branch in me. Some would say, and in my studies I've seen that some would say that this is talking about you can lose your salvation. I don't read it that way. I believe if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put your faith, your trust in the work that he did on the cross, you are grafted in. You're safe. You're saved. We're in the vine. To me, abiding is more fully walking out that grafting in. That's abiding. And so that's how I'm going to look at this. Abiding, it does talk about vines, if they get dried up, withered, they can get cast off. But it's interesting. A couple of years ago, I planted some nice English ivy in the front yard, and I'm working on the other side now, and it's come along. It was struggling at first, but now it's coming in pretty good. And from a distance, there's this other vine that's in there. It's a little smaller, but it wraps itself around the big English ivy, and so from a distance, it looks like it's the same stuff. But when I get up close, I can tell it's not the same. And you know what? It's not in the same branch either. And so, I'm going to weed it. I'm going to take it out. But then, you know what? The winter comes, and I've seen this over the last couple of years. It withers, and it dies. And I believe that's what God is telling us in the scripture, that you've got to be grafted in to the vine. Abiding is what we do in that grafting. So I just wanted to say that so we can move past, because I believe abiding, any good abiders here today, is a process. I certainly haven't got it all figured out. I mean, it's a lifelong process. Let me just say, if Jesus is your personal Savior, you're on the vine. Abiding is walking out your faith. And when I talk about abiding, it's more and more of an intimacy with Christ. It's what we're doing on the vine, but not in our flesh. I mean, this isn't a fruit bowl competition. We should be yielding fruit, but it isn't a competition. Let me store up as many trophies as I can. We're not working our way up to God by piling up fruit in the flesh. God's fruit is more of a natural outpouring of what it is that we're doing in Him. We're abiding in Him. He does the doing. I just need to do the abiding. So I hope to show today that abiding is not an outward struggle, but an inward surrender. And if there's any work to be done, it's an unworking to do. So today, as I mentioned, we'll look at what does it mean to abide in Christ? Why should I abide more and more fully? And how do I abide more fully? But first, let's define the word abide. It's kind of a fancy word, abide. I found in the Greek, the word is meno, M-E-N-O, meno, which means, and the definition, interestingly, is in reference to place, time, and a state or condition. So the definition refers to a place, it refers to a time, and it refers to a condition. So in reference to a place, it means to remain, to sojourn, to dwell, to lodge, to tarry, not to depart. Encamp, dwell, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually. In reference to time, it's to continue to be, to exist, not to perish, to endure, to survive. And in reference to a state or condition, the word abide means to remain as one, to endure, not to become another or different. And we can take those definitions and look at our relationship with Jesus Christ and say, how am I, not condemning, but how am I doing? How am I abiding? Am I staying in one place? It's actively, progressively, continually, intentionally drawing closer, hanging in there like that fruit, like that grape on the vine. And so because as we do, we grow and mature. That's why it's important to abide. Why should I abide? Now, if you're abiding, you have an abode. It's a home, a dwelling place, the place where you live. As a noun, the Greek word abode occurs twice in the New Testament, both times in John chapter 14. If you want to look at that, we're going to read from 14, one chapter back. John 14, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's the same word as an abode. Mansions, abiding places, abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And then down to verse 23, John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. For a Christian, this body, this tent, which houses our soul and spirit, is also the dwelling place, oddly enough, the holy temple, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible says he is abiding in us, and then one day, suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, our abode, our dwelling place, our new place to live, our digs, the mansion, will be in heaven. That's kind of like Airbnb. Little exchange program. Now, his place is much nicer. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Another couple of good reasons to abide. But why? Why should we abide? Abiding is living in Christ, actively, progressively, continually, intentionally, drawing closer, hanging in there. And as we do, we grow and mature. I was on vacation this week, as many of you or some of you may or may not know. Boy, it's easy to abide when you're on vacation. It's pretty easy to abide, and I look forward to it. You know, it's an extended time. You know, you get to drive too slow. Way too slow. I was doing under the speed limit. Usually I don't do under the speed limit when I'm not abiding and I'm working. But it's what a wonderful time in the Lord. Draw closer to Him. And, you know, this thing was done by Wednesday. I was abiding. By Thursday, I'd gotten, or Friday, I don't remember, a text from work. It was online at the Price Chopper. And, boy, that text just took me out of my abiding. I was no longer abiding. I could feel my blood start to boil. Don't they know? How could they? They do this all the time. And so I was, and you know, I'm working on the message. And Paul had just called and said, are you done? And I said, yeah. I mean, you know, as long as the Holy Spirit shows up. But I was standing there going, boy, I am just not abiding. Does that ever happen to you? Someone will just take you right out. And so I just prayed. I said, I really don't know why you're doing this to me. Why are you letting these people? And then, bam, it smacked me across the head. God will allow things in your life. The enemy can use and work through other people in your life to try and get you to unabide, try and get you off the vine. He can't. He can't, but we can think we are off the vine, but he cannot remove you from the vine. And so I prayed, Holy Spirit, show me what is in this. And he immediately showed me that it was the enemy just trying to get me out of my will for him. And also, you know, he also told me I don't have to wait every year or two to abide. Right? Twice a year you get to abide? That's not it. He wants us to be abiding in him. Right? Wait for that. I get to abide. He wants us to abide in the problem. He wants us to abide in the... Helena? And that's the growth. That's the lifting up. You know, it refers to the branches, and I've seen it say, well, those branches get cut off. And no, they're lifted up. They're, you know, when you look at the big vineyards out in Jerusalem, and I've seen this on TV, they're on the ground. They don't get a lot of sun down there, or they don't get the proper nourishment. So they will be lifted up to get that sun. But God's not going to chop you off the vine. And we think we can chop ourselves off the vine. That's not how it works. But abiding is important. I just want to read through chapter 14 a little bit and give us just some other reasons. There's 1,000 reasons why we should abide, but I just want to go through 14 here to lay some groundwork on some other reasons why we should abide. And it's good to hear the word of God. Chapter 14, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, I heard that this morning. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, by abiding in Christ, we have access to the Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. You see, by abiding, we can know the Father. That's what Jesus said. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father? I am in the Father. Abide. I am in the Father. It's the same word. And the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, same word, abide. The Father who dwells in me, abides in me, does the works. Now, Jesus never took credit for the works. He pointed to the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works. And the sake of the works are his miracles. When we abide, we will do greater works than he. And he answers our prayer. We see that in the next verse, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We also receive the Holy Spirit. We see that in verse 15 and beyond. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide or dwell, there's that word, with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells, there's that word abide again, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So we get the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our helper. We also receive the indwelling of the Father and the Son. I miss that. But I see that. Look at verse 19. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I am in my Father, and you in me, and me in you. Wonderful picture of abiding. Right there. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our dwelling place with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I mean, those are just some of the reasons to abide. There's hundreds of others. I mean, literally hundreds of others, good reasons to abide more and more in him. I mean, the fruits of the Spirit, love. We get his love, not our love. I can't love like he does, agape, unconditional love. We get his joy. I can be happy, but I want his joy. We get that. When you abide in Christ, you get his joy. We get his peace. I didn't have peace at the grocery store. I did not. It had gone. And then I prayed and peace came back. It wasn't my peace. But by the time the groceries were being bagged, I was good. I was good. The Lord had shown me you don't abide when it's convenient for you. Or when you're on vacay, you abide in me all of the time. And it's those rough times that grow you up the most. You want to grow? You want to be pruned? There's your growth in the pruning. Anyway, kindness. If we abide, we get more kind. I can use that. Get more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness. It's not easy for a guy to be gentle sometimes, but that's a fruit. I want more of that. self-control. You know, if we abide, we bear fruit, and that fruit will abide. I read that too, and I said, what? Say what? What does that mean? That fruit will abide? That fruit remains? What are you talking about? John 15:16, and I'm jumping around a little bit. But Jesus said, John 15:16, I hadn't noticed this. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, speaking to them and us, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. You're a fruit bearer. You've been appointed a fruit bearer. Go and bear fruit. However that looks, go into all the world, and that your fruit would remain, abide. Your fruit would remain. That means we rub off on others. Whether we like it or not, we rub off on others. So when you give away or show love to others, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, it abides with the other person. It's a seed sown. And never returns void. It's a seed sown. It never returns void. And in bearing that fruit, we cause the reality of God, the maker of the universe, to be present and to be understood and seen, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, if we're abiding more and more. It's a process. I'm the best abider in the world. Nope. That doesn't happen, right? We're a process. Work in progress. But then I wondered, we get all this cool stuff. That's what's in it for us. What's in it for God? What's he get out of our abiding? Obviously, he wants us to abide. He must get something out of it. What does he want? And I saw what he wants. It's in John 14:21. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. We did read this before. That word manifest means to reveal. I will manifest myself to him. He will reveal himself to us, to make himself known, to show oneself transparently. Jesus will reveal himself to us. So that's a pretty cool thing too, but that's just for us, right? There's a condition there. He says if we hold fast to his commandments and keep them. Jesus has got commandments? Hold on to that thought for a second. And keep them. Oh, I got to be a doer, not just a hearer. Well, then it will be obvious if I keep his commandments and do them, then it will be obvious that we love him. And he and his Father will return that love, and Jesus will reveal more of himself to us. I don't even know if I just got that. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me, my Father and I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's an invitation to a more intimate relationship, like Enoch who walked with God. What does he get out of it? Well, he knows that we love him when we keep his commandments. He'll know that we love him. Brett didn't actually cooperate today. He was a little ornery. But, and I apologize, Desi and Jackie, but your son, man, is just special. And so he is like what a Christian should be with God, you know. He just is so innocent and loving. And, you know, I know that when he comes in the room, and he probably hasn't seen Grandma, Grandpa, Gramps, Poppy. I like that, Poppy. Try that out. He probably hasn't seen them all week. You know, he's probably tired of mom and dad telling him what to do. But, you know, he comes in And I'm sure that there's this, and I can see in his eyes, there's this thrill when he sees Grammy and Poppy. And they grab him and they lift him up and they hug him. And I'm sure he's thrilled to death about that. But I'll bet you Grammy and Poppy are more thrilled. I'll bet you they're more tickled pink. Wow. Because he just shows his love to you. And I know that's how God feels. Because that's he built that into us, that feeling of love. And that's why we should abide. So God knows. He's thrilled when we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not tough. Anyway, so how do I abide? I can't leave you hanging. We're almost there. There's three steps. I love steps. I love acronyms. I love steps, right? All right. So first, step one. Well, before step one, it starts with our heart, not our strength. You can't abide. That apple cannot abide any harder in a tree if it wanted to. So it starts with our heart, not our strength. You don't muster up. I'm going to get better at this abiding. But number one, first of all, you have to decide to abide. In the Old Testament, when the writer was summarizing a king's reign, he would many times end the summary with, and, oh, the guy might have ruled for 30 years, but he summarizes it with, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Or he did good in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm like, wow, these poor guys. You know, they lived their whole life, maybe 20, 30, 40 years. They had some mess-ups, but the writer just kind of nails them in the last few words. They're done. So, but such was the case with King Rehoboam, King Solomon's son. King Rehoboam, 2 Chronicles 12:14, referring to the king, Rehoboam, it says he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. So first we must decide to abide. Decide to abide. Set your heart. It's like setting your watch. Gee, I never know what time it is. Have you set your watch? Set your watch. Set your heart. Number two, obey his commandments. And I said this before. When I was a young Christian, I'm like, what's that? Jesus has commandments? I never heard that. What's that? Some new doctrine? I mean, he came to set the captive free. You know, there's 10 commandments done and gone. No. He fulfilled those. He didn't do away with those. But that's not how you get to heaven. So your faith in Jesus Christ is all that you need to get to heaven, not a commandment keeper. However, some of his commandments are actually pretty important. He's told us to love one another. He's told us to judge not. He said, forgive one another. He's told us to take up our cross and follow him. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Offer up your other cheek and many others. He's given us plenty of direction. Plenty of direction. Those are his commandments. Now, I love Jesus because he boils them down to two. It's simpler, not easier, but it's simpler. He says in Matthew 22, 37 and 40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. Love God unconditionally, because agape, love, agape means unconditionally. No strings attached. Love your God unconditionally. Love your neighbor unconditionally. So abiding is, one, putting others first. Abiding, number two, is putting God first. A good way to check that is if I put myself first, it's a pretty good sign I'm probably not abiding. And finally, it takes faith. Step three, faith. I learned that at Price Chopper. It ain't easy to abide. It takes faith. It takes faith to hang in there, because I can't do it. You can't do it on your own. You can try all you want, but without faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and his promises, there ain't no abiding. Anyway, I believe God is building us up, lifting us up, strengthening us, pruning us to let life happen to us. It's his plan. Sure, it's going to get rough sometimes, but when it does, he wants us to know that he's got our back. We're still on his vine, and nothing can shake us loose. No one can cut you off, no bad bosses, no rotten neighbor, no parent who doesn't know how to hug, no friend who talks behind your back, no rude store clerk, no one, no matter what, can make you unabide. Abiding is your natural position in Christ. It's your right. And it's not an outward struggle, but a progressive inward surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. Show us how to abide more fully, Lord. But like that apple on a tree, it doesn't strive to hang on. It's just there, Lord, and you put it there. You put us there. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to squeeze another ounce out of nourishment out of you, Father. We just have to surrender, Lord, to you. We don't have to strive to abide, Father. We just have to surrender and let you do the doing. And Father, I just pray over this congregation, Lord, and each one of us, Father, that we would abide in every place we step so that your fruit would remain. In Jesus' name, amen.